It was a very trailer park Thanksgiving. They set up a table in the living room because the kitchen's too small. My wife and I sat on the couch. The other three sat in chairs. There was pro wrestling on TV. We were eating grocery store turkey. My mom does have a chicken living in her tree in the front yard. Carlos, my brother's dad from El Salvador. And my mom is obviously Hungarian. White trash knows no bounds.
Well, let's just go through the white trash list that you just gave us.
Okay, so we got a chicken in the tree.
Chicken in the tree.
We're sitting on the couch.
Sitting on the couch.
Pro wrestling on TV.
And you said the sentence, my brother's dad. So, I mean, you've hit the absolute redneck trifecta. Trekking, heavy or traveling light. There's one thing that's right wherever I go. That's where I am. We're on.
Hey, we are on. We're on. Hey, everybody. Welcome to This Week in Zoltan. I am Zoltan. This is my podcast in a brand new podcast studio. It's down the hall from the last one. Not that you would know that, but it's less turns for us. It's less awkward to get out. And look at it. I'm all reclined. This is how I lounge in a house. You know, I'm not behind a desk anymore. It's not looking like Al Jazeera news report coming from an undisclosed location. Like, I feel like I'm in one of those chairs that you put a dollar into at the airport. You know, when you walk through the airport and you see random tourists getting vibrated as you walk through and you're like, man, what made you do that? And that's how this feels. Mm-hmm. It's a zip chair, correct?
Yeah, zip chair.
Sponsor of the podcast studio. They're the ones that hooked us up with these chairs. This is amazing. Also, our one and only sponsor, Safe Journal, my wife's company, Emma Basiri. She busted out these awesome journals. If you got thoughts and you need a place to write them down, reflect in an organized manner, whether you're new to journaling or you're a seasoned vet, this is the journal for you. Go to safejournal.co if you're interested, and if you want to see me model some of these journals.
Go to the website, yeah.
Yeah, go to the website, safejournal.co. Do I have a discount code?
You actually do.
I do? I have a discount code. What is it?
Zoltan.
Whoa, that's a good one. That's a good
discount. Yeah, 25% off.
25% off. Listen, you guys, if you guys aren't going to safejournal.co just to see me model these journals and then using the discount code Zoltan to get 25% off, I don't know what you're doing with your lives. I don't know what's going on. Is that a good pitch?
You get better at it.
I get better at it. You know what? As the episodes go on, we're going to have more and more sponsors, and the opening is like, hey, what are you wiping your ass with? You need to upgrade to Charmin Ultrasoft. Zip them off. Hey, forget the Bears. Fire the Bears. Bring me in. Because you hear me complain when we share a hotel room. Because it doesn't matter how nice the hotel, they will put in the cheapest toilet paper. It's like staying at a rich person's house where you're like, you're in a mansion and they got gift paper.
They got tracing paper.
Yeah, they got butcher paper in there and you're like, what am I doing with this? And you can hear me complaining through the doors. I need to replace the Bears for Charmin. But yeah, go to safejournal.co, discount code Zoltan at checkout, 25% off. And yeah, I'm rocking my Shania, does that come through on the camera?
It looks like Jennifer Love Hewitt from here.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
It looks like a young J-Love.
I think I need, if I reclined it, you'd be able to see it.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
It's Shania Twain. If you remember from a few episodes ago, I had the mighty Bob Hansen on, and we were next door to a bachelorette party, and they were just singing Shania Twain songs over and over again, like different ones. And we had a fun episode on that, so he went to Kohl's and got us matching Shania Twain.
Oh, is that why he did it?
Yeah, he was at Kohl's and he sent me a text going, should I? And I go, I think you're living your life wrong if you don't.
Oh, and I thought he just had a crush on Shania Twain.
I think he also has a crush on Shania Twain because he knew way too many song lyrics of Shania. Like when we were doing that episode, it was just one after another after another. I only know You Don't Impress Me Much, but he knew like 20 of them. And so he ended up buying two of these. Apparently the only size I had was 2XL. So
it looks good. It looks like you're actually rocking a fit.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, because this is the new fit.
It's ironic.
Because
it's too big. If it fit you, it would be like, oh, this guy thinks like there's no irony in this shirt. He's just a Shania fan.
Could you imagine if this was a small tucked into a pair of Wranglers with a work belt on?
That'd be pretty sick.
I would just look like an immigrant employee on my way to a construction job. And I grabbed this out of the thrift pile.
And you do the lyrics in person? How much is a bale of hay? $15.99 now? That don't impress me much.
That don't impress me much. So yeah, thank you, Bob Hansen, for the Christmas shirt.
You're motioning for your wife to come down the road, like, let's go, girl.
I wish I knew more lyrics. I wish I only know Don't Impress Me Much. Do you have any extras? Are you a big Shania Twain fan, Mike?
I was a Shania Twain fan for a long time. Then sometimes when you hear people talk, like in interviews, you're like, oof, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Like watching Garth Brooks. Have you been watching any of Garth Brooks?
Is he ruining his own career by talking?
He's doing promo for his new Friends in Low Places bar in Nashville, and it's really bad.
Oh, no.
You know that this guy hasn't, like, no one's been like, hey, Garth, not a good idea. No one said that to him in many moons.
Yeah, it's all yes men around him, so no one's giving him the real skinny on now.
You can tell when somebody hasn't been told.
I remember Lana Del Rey got ruined for me that way, because I love her music. And then I listened to it in an interview, and I'm like, oh no, she's kind of dumb. Like she came off a little. I don't know if she was nervous, but she came off a little dumb. Aww. And I was like, oh, because the songs are so weighty, and not all of them. Some of the lyrics are ridiculous, but there's like good emotion and weight to them. And then you hear the person talking, like, oh, that was someone else wrote these, or that was dumb luck that you wrote those at all.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so you know more Shania Twain songs than I realize immediately. Like, oh, I know a dozen songs.
Yeah, I know. I just can't think of them off the top of my head.
Let's see. Do you know this one? I'm just gonna sing them.
Yeah, sing them.
What was the one that you know? That doesn't impress me much.
Yeah.
What about this one? Man, I feel like a woman.
Oh yeah. Bow, bow,
bow, that's
oh
the
man.
Oh, here's a good one.
I almost tapped my toe to that.
Still the one I dream of. Man, I really thought I could do that song until it opened my mouth. I thought for sure I was going to nail that. I was like,
isn't that the worst when you can hear it in your head?
Change of career coming up.
Yeah. You can hear it in your head
that
in the moment.
Okay, relax.
We got to the point. We knew what you were talking about.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll sing a popular song and Emma will be like, I have no clue what you were going for. And then I'll play it for you and you're like, you weren't even in the ballpark. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, what else do we got
She's had a lot of hits.
Yeah, she has.
Superstar.
From
Canadian.
From this moment, I couldn't live. From this moment?
From this moment, I don't know that
I
one.
I haven't heard that one.
Is that more Christmassy?
How do I tell you how you feel? There is nothing I couldn't give.
Whoa.
Something like that.
Right? You almost did something.
For that
was
one.
That close?
That was close to something.
Wow.
That was almost something. That middle part with the That was almost a I think we need a Mike Christmas album.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm down.
A Mike Albanese Christmas sings
special.
The hits. Yeah.
Butchers the hits.
Butchers the
hits. It's just me getting one part of a song right while I'm chopping brisket.
It's kind of like we were watching Stavros. Halkias has the sexy calendar every year, which is so funny.
Yeah.
I showed you those photos.
They're so funny.
It's such a great concept. I think your thing should be every year you do a Christmas album. 10 tracks. You brutalize the hell out of them.
It's a guessing game.
Yeah.
What song is this?
And you donate the proceeds to like the school for the deaf.
School. I donate to the school for the hearing. Like, hey, all right. Hey, keep get more people deaf.
Get more people deaf.
I want to do a food festival called Gluten Fest, where it's nothing but bread and all the things that go with bread. But all proceeds go to help find a cure for celiac disease, people that can't enjoy the festival.
Ah, that's where it needs to be. It's kind of like having a food drive for the needy, or like an eating contest, and the proceeds go to like a country where they don't have any food, and you're
like,
"Wow, you're really rubbing it in there, aren't you?" Yeah, we're gonna run a marathon for muscular dystrophy. You're like, "Wow, that's kind of." I feel like if there was a comic that had a joke about that, it might have been Jimmy O Yang, where it's like you're really rubbing it into the muscular dystrophy crowd by using all your muscles and running for super long. But yeah,
let's do a nacho cheese chugging contest for Rhodesia. Like, what are we doing here? It's not even a country anymore.
It was like the the fundraiser show I did in Sandusky, Ohio, where they did a whole video on like how this organization helps with like people with fat hearts. Like that's not the proper term, but you know when you need like a coronary and a bunch of stents and all that stuff. And then I was over at the buffet and I was just making a pork sandwich and I was like, they shouldn't have pork here.
Why is this on the menu?
Why is this the worst heart healthy spread of food I've ever seen?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah. But speaking of a spread of food, we just had these episodes come out a week later, but we just had Thanksgiving weekend. We went over to San Diego. Mike, what'd you do for Thanksgiving?
New fiance, her parents were in town, so we went out to eat.
Oh, you guys did an out?
At a quality bistro.
Okay.
Quotes on the quality. Quotes. Air quotes. It was good, but the turkey part of it, like the actual turkey, was not great. It came out cold.
Oh. Yeah.
And it was like $60 for a little plate of turkey and stuffing and...
Was it buffet style, or did they serve it to you?
Just give you a plate. Mm. This was like room temperature.
Yeah, they shouldn't. That should come out hot.
Everything else was good, though. Top notch on everything else, but
it was a good time. Sometimes Thanksgiving is about the sides.
It's all sides.
Because let's be honest, turkey is turkey.
Sides-giving,
yes.
Why don't we do that?
Yes.
I want to do nothing but, I just want to eat stuffing and gravy.
Mm. Yeah. Stuffing, gravy. Mashed potato, the mac and cheese, the buttery mac. We went to two Thanksgivings
the
same day. In San Diego?
In San Diego. Because my mom wasn't ready to have us over until 6, which is pretty late. And we were driving down from Irvine where I'd done a show. So I had some friends that were having a big family one. So nice. We crashed that. I mean, I invited myself, but they accepted. And we went to that, and it was a spread amongst a spread amongst a spread. And then we ate that, and then we went to my mom's, the trailer park, where the food was amazing, but she made none of it. She she's like, oh, at the Albertson, the grocery store down the street, I pay $75. They give me everything. So she Mrs. Doubtfired the entire meal. She brought it in and set it up, and still
delicious.
I'm having
hot flashes already.
Great, great holiday movie.
Mm-hmm. Solid flick.
Yeah, but it was fun to go from a proper Thanksgiving to the trailer park.
Well, see, when you say trailer park, that emotes, you know, images of like, Mom, nice turkey. You're like, okay, yes, turkey. Why not? Like, maybe it's a raccoon. I don't know.
Yeah, it's almost like the mom from Bobby Boucher's mom from The Waterboy. Like, Gator's ready.
You guys don't eat squirrel for Thanksgiving? Well, it's interesting.
No, I'm pretty sure it was a turkey, but you're not far off on the setting, because my mom does have a chicken living in her tree in the front yard. And this is my mom has a pet chicken. There was a storm. There was like a hurricane or a tropical storm that came through San Diego a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. And somehow this chicken, I don't know if it messed up. I don't know if it got blown in from Kansas or what happened to this chicken, but it starts showing up at my mom's house and sleeping in her tree. And my mom is such an animal lover. She starts feeding this chicken, like cooking rice for it, making oatmeal. She fattened this chicken up. And it's
Chibi.
Chibi. It has a name.
Is that the name, or is that a weird pronunciation for your mom?
No.
It's supposed to be like Chicky?
Chibi. It's like the noise that they make. Chibi. You know.
And that's an immigrant way of doing a noise.
Yes.
Chibi, 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 chibi.
That's not the sound at all, Mom, but you're not from here, so I get it.
Like a French guy doing a moo or something. Wow. You're like, what? What kind of cows do you have in France? This is my mom's second chance at a pet chicken, because she was given a pet chicken for Christmas or her birthday or something in Hungary when she was a little girl. And then she loved this chicken, Chibi, also named Chibi. Mm. And eventually this chicken grew up, and it wasn't a chicken. It was a rooster. And this rooster made a lot of noise, and the neighbors started complaining. So they had to kill Chibi and turn him into soup. And she didn't eat any of this soup. And so no matter how traumatic your childhood was, most people's childhood didn't involve their father butchering their pet and making soup out of them because the neighbors were complaining.
Unless you grew up on a farm.
I guess.
I mean, a lot of those kids grow up on farms, like raising animals and then eating the animals.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. But this one was supposed to be, but they tell you not. I feel like those people that grow up on farms, they know not to name the animals and not to start treating them like a pet, because you're like, whoa, we're gonna, this isn't gonna work out good for this animal.
You give them names that don't make sense, like Chibi.
So yeah, they killed the chicken. So, you know, life comes full circle. This chicken shows, this other chicken comes and shows back up, and my mom has a second chance to have a chicken pet. I give it, I told my mom, I give her about another month before the chicken is in the house, and she's feeding it, and it's just sleeping and crapping all over the trailer park.
I see that happening.
I very much see that happening. It was a very trailer park Thanksgiving, and I mean that with all love and sincerity to my mom and my family. But we came home. They set up a table in the living room because the kitchen's too small. Sure. Half the people, my wife and I, sat on the couch. The other three sat in chairs. And
couch with the table up to you?
Yes. Like, is it that? Yes. Couch with the table up to you. Guess what? Huh. The height was off.
I suppose that rednecks could come from any country.
Listen, poor knows no nationality.
Yeah, really.
You will figure it out. But I will say, listen, I'm going to make fun of it. That's what I'm doing. But the coziest Thanksgiving we went to. Like, if there was a lot of love in the air, there was pro wrestling on TV.
That's
like,
great.
Like, Carlos, my brother's dad, he's like, you like pro wrestling? And I go, yeah. Because he remembers me watching it. So he went on, they don't have cable, so they have like Freevee, whatever the Amazon one is, and he found some offshoot, it was OVW, the one that was on Netflix they had a documentary about, but it was their actual TV show, and so it was like off-brand wrestling playing in the background, we're sitting on couches, we're eating grocery store turkey that they made at the grocery store down the street, and there's mood lighting. They had recently installed, you know, that strip lighting that they'll like put in a plane, and when you land, it turns blue.
Yeah.
My brother.
And if it crashes, it turns red. What other colors do they have? It's either blue or dark. If there's any other color, it's like, why is it yellow? Oh, toilet's overflowing.
It's just hot yellow. Yeah. I love that. Like, they should. It should turn, like, when it hits turbulence, they should hit a bright red, and you're like, oh, buckle up. You know, it's time to go down. My brother's girlfriend got him, like, a strip of this lighting for his bedroom. And my mom and Carlos thought it looked so cool. They're like, let's get it for the whole house. So they got, I'm not making this
I like
up.
The way it looks on the Civic. Let's go ahead and do this to the living room.
It's so funny because neither, like Carlos is from El Salvador, and my mom is obviously Hungarian, but, oh, sorry, I knocked that close, but like the white trash knows no bounds. Like,
well, yeah, no.
You will find a way to white trash up your house.
Well, let's just go through the white trash list that you just gave us.
Okay, so we got a chicken in the tree.
Chicken in the tree.
We're sitting on the couch.
Sitting on the couch.
Pro wrestling on TV.
And you said the sentence, my brother's dad. So, I mean, you've hit the absolute redneck trifecta.
We have a bingo, sir. I think we're starting anew.
Don't forget the flashlight.
Oh, my God. And even with the mood lighting, it was still too dim. Oh, to add to one more level of white trash, my mom had me sign the back of the deed for my, the back of the title for my Honda Fit to fully sign it over to her.
Sure.
During Thanksgiving dinner, the mood lighting was too dim, so Carlos had to pull out a flashlight. And it was one of those flashlights with each button you get a new setting, so he accidentally got it stuck on strobe. So it's just strobe. So Emma and I are sitting on this couch, pro wrestling's in the background, mood lighting's too dim, strobe light. So my mom's like, get it to stop doing that. She's like, it's stuck on strobe.
Someone turned the mood lighting to white. The closest I get is chartreuse. Why do you know that color?
It was. But it's the most we laughed.
Mm-hmm.
Was over there.
Great time.
Yeah.
It's not about Thanksgiving. It's about the hang. It's all about
it's
the hang. Everything
the
can
hang.
Go wrong as long as the hang's good. Mm-hmm. It's a good time.
You know how sometimes you go to someone's... And the other Thanksgiving we went to was a blast, and it was low-key. Like, there's drinks, everyone's loose, having fun. It was great. But you know how sometimes you go to a Thanksgiving, it's a little uptight? It's a little too nice. And you're like, oh, no. This is not... Mm-mm. If you go to a Thanksgiving that's too nice, that's not the intentional meaning of Thanksgiving. You know, you got to go back. The pilgrims and the Native Americans had this meal so that eventually the pilgrims could screw them over and take the land.
Yeah,
but it was a low-key affair. It was supposed to be down to earth.
Yep.
Hey, you bring your slop. I'll bring my slop.
We'll bring you smallpox.
Yeah, yeah, we will bring you smallpox. You show us how to like put a pumpkin in a wicker basket or whatever they did. And that's what the meaning of Thanksgiving or how it started. So sometimes you go to this like too uptight Thanksgiving where you're like, this is too slick. I don't care for this. So even though we went to a white trash Thanksgiving, like it was a very comfortable white trash Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
Yeah, you could eat with your shoes off.
Oh, yeah.
Crisscross applesauce in the seat. What's the way you're supposed to say it?
Shoes off, put on your best pair of gym shorts, and come sit at the dinner table. We're going to have a good time.
That's great.
My mom's going to talk about the chicken. My mom's going to tell... Oh, she told us so many stories. The reason we started late is because my mom was working that day. My mom works cleaning hotel rooms, and she works down not far from where she lives. And she's just telling... My mom just holds court. Like, it's her... She's, like, got these stories built up, and she's just going to share. She always complains when people don't tip. So it's like, tip at the hotel. I just started tipping after she got this job, like, 6 months ago. And she was like... she's like, oh, I cleaned this guy's room, and it was a mess. And then he comes up to me, and he give me $1. And he goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I only have $1. Here you go. And my mom, but he's like, I'm going to keep looking. And so he comes back like another hour later. He has $1 more. And he goes, oh, here you go. I found another dollar. And my mom goes, okay, thank you. Keep looking.
Would you like me to look?
Yes. I rifle through wallets.
I rifle through wallet again? Or?
Again. First time
ever.
I know you don't hide in Bible.
don't worry. I checked the safe. He's empty.
I know code. 1, 2, 3, 4. Original.
I prefer 6969. Anyway, we're having fun. Your mom's a comic at night.
Dude, my mom is
hilarious.
Dude, yeah. She's way funnier than anything I've ever done.
I'd rather go to that Thanksgiving than like a White House, like big, you know, big Thanksgiving.
And just everyone's terrified you're going to talk politics or a war or something. There's none of that.
I don't like Thanksgiving. I mean, the food's good. I love the atmosphere, but I don't like if I miss it. I've missed so many Thanksgivings because I'm just like, eh.
Not your favorite holiday.
Doesn't faze me at all.
Mm. It's my favorite holiday. What's your favorite holiday?
Halloween.
Okay.
Yeah. And I love costumes. Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
I don't like Christmas Day. And as an adult, my sister's got kids. They're great, but they're spoiled. And I like we didn't grow up with anything. And my sister's now successful. Her husband's successful, and they're crushing it. But they're giving that back to their kids. Like they're not allowing them to be like poor kids like we were. And so it's hard to watch sometimes. And it's hard for them to stop. You know, they're like, I don't know how do we fed? How do we fix this?
Right.
So I like Christmas Eve because we hang out, we drink. Mm-hmm. We get like a little tiny thing of caviar to make it seem like we're fancy. And then me and my sister, we splurge on a little thing of caviar. And that's that, yeah.
I like that.
And then I skip Christmas. And I go later in the day and like, all right, here's a gift.
Well, yeah, Christmas Day is ridiculous. Yeah. Christmas Day is nonsense. I was telling Emma, because we just got a Christmas tree for the place. And I was like, oh, we'll just because we're not going anywhere for Christmas. We're staying home having a New York Christmas. And we're like, oh, we'll get each other a couple gifts and we'll throw them under the tree. And I'm like, can we open them Christmas Eve? Because I grew up opening them. I don't know if it's a Hungarian thing or just my mom's tradition of like, what are we waiting for tomorrow? Let's open these now. We'll stay up all night. We'll get some sleep tomorrow. They'll wake up and play with them again. And I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. Why are we? You can't sleep with excitement of knowing what's in the box. So
what's in the box?
That's what Christmas is. It's what's in the box. You know,
our Christmas Eve tradition is one gift on Christmas Eve, but also all of us yelling at my dad that no, we do this every year. That's part of the tradition. Is him being like, we never do this. We do it every year. He's never...
Every year you do a different thing.
But I don't know if he remembers that he doesn't remember. Like, that's the part that actually confuses us. Like, does he actually not think?
Or it's like, who's messing with who?
Exactly. Yeah.
That'd be great if you guys were messing with him, and each year you come up with a weirder and weirder tradition. Hey, we're going to go hang mom over the balcony until she tells us where the gifts are.
by her metal-pinned ankles. Come on!
But you are so right about the rich kid Christmas.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's because I grew up poor. I think growing up poor is the best way to grow up, to be a a well-rounded adult to where you can actually enjoy things as you start to like make a little more money. You enjoy it a little more. Because my brother grew up, we had more money when my brother came around, even though we're still in the trailer park. Like, I didn't get, this is going to be a weird, this is going to be a very American poor thing to say, but I got a Sega Genesis in 95 when it was late.
Sure.
All right, they already had Sony PlayStation already come out.
Yes.
And my mom finally got me a Genesis because it was now under $100.
Yeah.
And so I got Mortal Kombat and Genesis. So I'm like 5 years behind. That's American poor. That's when you get things just 5 years later. My brother got things as they came out. And I was like, oh, he doesn't know the struggle.
Right.
He doesn't know that he's like, oh, yeah, I got this Xbox. Oh, the newest one just came. I got that. And I just got the newest game. And I'm like, why do you get all these? I didn't get any of these things. And, you know, he was never left alone for 10 hours a day. So, like, he just
that got had, deep.
Like, what?
That got deep.
Well, I was is that called a latchkey kid? Where,
did
like,
you have your own key to get into your house when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Or was the door open?
No, it was, I would get yelled at if it wasn't locked.
But you had your own key after school, you went in by yourself. That's a latchkey kid.
Yeah. So I had a key and a pouch where she put my lunch money. And then I would come in and I was told I wasn't allowed to go out until she came home. And then I can go out to play with my friends. Because she was worried about, we watched America's Most Wanted every Friday. Every Friday or Saturday, whatever day it was, we'd watch Cops and then America's Most Wanted. And John, if you ever watched that show, the host, John Walsh, the entire show was basically about kids getting kidnapped and horrible things happening to kids from creeps. And she's like, I can't let you out. Look at these creeps. And she goes, never answer the door because you don't know. It could be a creep on the other side.
Yeah.
And I remember I'd be terrified if someone knocked on the door. I'd be under the bed like Kevin McAllister in Home Alone. One time I didn't let our roommate in. We had moved to San Diego, and we were living with these Mexican ladies. They're our roommates. And then there's another Mexican lady coming to join us, Leticia. Mm-hmm. And I recognized her voice knocking on the door. And she had just flown in, but they didn't tell me she was coming. And my mom told me not to open the door for anybody. And she's there with her luggage, and I recognize the voice. But I'm like, that could be a fake voice. That could be a creep from America's Most Wanted. So I didn't let her in. And she's out there cussing in Spanish. She's like, let me the hell in. And then I watched her drag her luggage down. And now I see her, and I'm like, yeah, I still can't let her in. My mom told me not to let anybody in. You're not coming in.
He goes, hey, take it up with my mom.
There's no one more loyal than a child, by the way. Like, a child and a dog are two of the same things. Like, you teach a dog nobody comes into this house, that dog will fight its life off to make sure nobody comes in this house. You tell a kid you do not open that door for anybody, they won't open that door. There could be a house fire, and they're like, I was told not to open that door.
I see all the red lights blinking outside. That ain't for me, bud.
That ain't for me, dude. Mama said sit here.
Even if my skin's melting, which it is. I think if you become... like the rich kid, poor kid thing.
Yeah.
I think obviously we all wish we were rich kids. Nobody wishes they were a poor kid. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're poor growing up and you become successful, you're a better at being successful than a rich kid that becomes not successful. Mm. Does that make sense?
Definitely.
I think like a poor person becoming wealthy isn't going to be a much better person.
Oh, it's a lateral move.
Yeah.
It's instead of if you grow up poor and then you get a little successful, it's an upward move. Where if you're just a rich kid that now becomes a rich adult, it's just a move over.
Or that you lose it and you go down to not having anything. Then that you're like, you're the one, you're freaking out. You're just, those are the people running around the street, smacking their heads against the walls.
Yeah.
Screaming in public, jumping off the boat. It's a small world. Yeah. That person just realized that their fortune is gone.
And you're like, what's up his ass? I just lost everything.
What's a ramen? What's a ramen? Someone just told me what poor means.
It's that lady you see running.
Oh, yeah, we saw a lunatic. At Prospect Park, we went for a walk, and there was a lady with headphones in dancing like a lunatic.
Sure.
But it was her. She was in workout clothes. This was her exercise. And she's just dancing side to side, kind of all over the place. Kind of a pain in the ass if you're riding a bike or running near her. I saw her again today. Mm-hmm. But that level of confidence. What did you say on the walk over? She's not crazy. She just doesn't care, which is another level of crazy.
Yeah.
If you think about it, it's the same person that sings on the subway.
It's a special kind of crazy.
It's a special, that having not caring.
No inhibition crazy.
Is insane.
That's a combo.
Yeah. You better hope they're not rich because they will end the world. No inhibition crazy. That's another Elon Musk out there going like.
We used to have this, there's this natural market in Atlanta where it's like all these hippies and people that smell go and shop. And you see these train jumper kids. These like just like grunge dogs.
Oh, they're hobos.
They smell. They're hobos.
Yeah.
They're these kids that just like are these, you know, 20-somethings that they just live the life of this grunge gutter punk.
Yeah.
But then they pay for their food with a black Amex card or a platinum card. And you can, it's like, oh, you're just cosplaying as a poor person.
Wow.
Until you're ready to go back to your rich life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's a special type of, that's a special type of shit.
That's on, you're going on vacation, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
you're like vacationing as a poor person.
You know how like people do like fantasy rock camp where a bunch of middle-aged guys, well, I don't know if you know about this, but like a bunch of middle-aged guys can go to a fantasy rock camp where they can pretend to be rock stars for the weekend. Mm. That's what they're doing. They're
new
like
fantasy base. Oh, do you want to start fantasy podcast camp? You can come here. We'll record a podcast for a very large fee just to cover our costs.
Just to cover our costs.
And then you get your podcast when you leave.
Well, listen, we all know that podcast studios will eventually become a cult. And then, you know, you end up asking us to call you God. And then slowly you're going to try to have sex with everybody. We know we know how this goes. Yeah. We know how this goes.
And it may or may not already have started that way.
The entry level price. Well, that was the thing we were watching on Netflix, the Twin Flame.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, did you watch that? No, I saw that. It looks good, though. I want to see it.
Mm-hmm. It's a classic cult. This one, they get a bunch of lonely people looking for love, and he slowly weaves it into a cult. But it's
The Pickup Artist season 2.
Yeah, just neg everybody.
Yeah.
Do you remember that show?
Mm-mm.
This Pickup Artist is on VH1. They took a bunch of losers. And then they took these guys that were supposed to be good at picking up women, but
King
they didn't
losers.
Look like, yeah, they didn't look like they were good at picking up
they
women.
They were like steampunk glasses
yeah.
and like big furry hats. It was crazy.
There's one guy dressed like Jamiroquai from like the late 90s, and he's like, that
the
guy's good at picking up
insanity.
Women. And pretty much the only thing they taught these guys was to be rude to women. Because if you go up to like this beautiful woman and you neg them and you go, ugh. Then they're like, well, why don't you like me? And then you win them over.
Oh, wow.
Which, that was kind of the only lesson they taught over and over again in every episode.
Yeah, though, it works.
It does.
It works.
Yeah.
They weren't wrong. They got a show for a reason.
Yeah. I don't think it works on everybody.
No, but it works in numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, was I rude to you and did that work?
No, you were really nice.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. I killed you with kindness is what I did. I went another direction.
Mm-hmm.
But you thought, initially, you thought I was rude because I left the pool area at the hotel where we met.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So I did kind of accidentally neg you.
I forgot about that.
So it does work. So can
I'm
I?
I'm telling
I
you.
Love telling this story, and I've said it before, but I'm going to say
listen, you have your version, and I have my version.
I have the truth. And
can I tell your version, Emma? I met this gay dude at the bar. Now I'm married to him.
He's wearing a giant Shania Twain shirt for some reason. And the sparkles were blinding me.
He walked away, turned around, whipped his head and said, I feel like a woman.
But yeah, we were at the pool deck and we were chatting it a little bit and a joint got passed around and I told you, hey, once I get high, I get uncomfortable and I'm going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave you the heads up. And I remember it happened. I got high. You started talking to somebody else. I made the realization, I don't know anybody here. And I felt the fear of panic. And I left, as I told you I would.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went downstairs to the bar and I had a beer. I was ordering dinner. And then I get a tap on the back of my shoulder. And it's her. And she goes, oh, you weren't kidding. You were going to leave. You were going to disappear. And I was like, oh, yeah, I got uncomfortable up there. Mm-hmm. And then we started talking and you're like, oh yeah, I'm at my booth tomorrow. This was for the cat convention we met at.
Sure, sure.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, I was like, oh yeah, I'll come help you. And she goes, you should take my number down.
Mm.
And then,
wow.
Yeah. So, I got your number. I texted you. You never texted me back. And then the next day after my show, I was watching the cat rapper. Because there was a cat rapper at this convention. I'm like, I'm not missing that. And then, well, he's in his fifth song about declawing or something.
Yeah.
And then I get a text from Emma going, there was no Zoltans that reported to my booth. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm coming. And then, but yeah, I kind of negged you in the beginning by disappearing, even though I said I was going to.
Yeah, I think it worked.
It did work. It does work.
I think if a woman has to chase the man after the first encounter, that's a good sign that he is at least interested.
Mm-hmm.
Every woman that I've ever been like, oh, I actually like this person, I get terrified. I can't do anything about it. I canceled on my now fiance 5 times.
Oh, wow.
Before our first date. And then she only took the first date because she's like, he's not going to win.
Wow.
This guy's not going to cancel on me 4 or 5 times and then just get to cancel on me. We're going to go out and then I'm not going to call him again. She just wanted to win.
Were they genuine cancels?
Yeah,
or
no,
was
I was just late or like I had shows that ran late and then I'm like, can we meet up later? She's like, well, I can't stay out that late. So it was like, I was just canceling on her, but it was like giving her a lot of excuses.
Mm.
And she's like, that's it. Like, I'm going. And I almost canceled again. I was like, hey, I'm going to be 10. She's like, I'll be there. She's like, I'm staying up just so I can fuck this guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then I, she dated then I you in, out of spite of you canceling
Absolutely.
On her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How'd you guys meet?
Internet?
Tinder? Like,
one of them.
Yeah.
I can't remember which one.
All right.
I put my radius down to 2 blocks.
2 blocks?
Because I was sick of getting on. I was sick of taking trains and buses to meet women. I was like, I'm not doing that anymore. And then she lived a block and a half from me the entire time I lived in that neighborhood. And we used to hang out at the same bars, never crossed paths at all.
You just never saw each other. Yeah. Did you look familiar to each other?
No.
Oh, you're like, yeah.
No, just never.
That's how big this city is.
Big city, man.
It's a big city. That's also, that's a luxury, too, of a big city that you could narrow down your radius to 2 blocks and still connect with somebody.
Yeah.
Like, imagine living out in the middle of like nowhere where you gotta like have a 80 mile radius and you're like, dude, I gotta drive and get a hotel room for a first date.
Mm-hmm. Swiping on the road when you're in the middle of nowhere.
Oh god,
when I was single, I was brutal. I have 4 kids and you're gonna take care of them. She's getting a like for me.
Oh man, I just remember.
I'm not here to play games. I don't know, it sounds like you are. All you have is games. You have 12 kids.
I look really sexy under my strip lighting that I got set up in my trailer. Come pet my chicken.
Your mom's on the dating apps?
No.
Sick.
No. That's actually really adorable. I wonder if anyone has met without a negging situation between the man and the woman. Because if it was the other way, like if you were rude to me, or if I don't know if every dude is like this, but if any girl is rude to me, I'll just be like, oh God, they hate me. And I would never talk to them again.
Mm.
I'd be like, that's a clear get the hell away from me.
I always thought it as a challenge.
You saw it as a challenge?
Yeah, you're rude to me. Like, well, you just lost any chivalry whatsoever. So now I'm going to be politely rude back to you. And I'm going to try to kiss you at the end of the night.
Oh, wow.
He likes the game.
I'm starting to get pumped up. I'm going to make a phone call after this.
What?
We're on a break. I miss the chase.
You like the chase?
I hate the loneliness, but the chase was a good time.
Ah.
Yeah.
Like
telling a woman no, that is some fun stuff.
Wow.
No, just because they don't, like, I'm sorry. Women don't know how to hear no sometimes. Like at a bar.
That's
hey,
true.
Buy us a drink. Nah. Excuse me? Like, you're in. It's the pickup artist.
I wouldn't respond well to buy us a drink.
Well, anything like that. Yeah, like, hey, can we have this seat, please?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Even little stuff like that. It's just like.
Oh, you don't give anything up.
No, well, no. It's not like in a bad way, but just like, no, we're sitting here. I'll let you know if we lose this seat.
Sounds like you like doing that to bratty women.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
But if a polite woman said, oh, I'm so sorry. Can I borrow the seat? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But can I have a seat? No.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just pictured you on a flight sitting in the aisle and some old lady's like, excuse me, sir, can you? No.
Smash cut to us making out in first class. Pulling her dentures out of my mouth. Her coming out of the bathroom, putting her wig back on.
That was our flight, by the way. Our flight out there. Not with the making out and the dentures, but the dentures. We were on the most elderly flight of all time. Like the. Because it was right before Thanksgiving, and everyone was shipping out their parents like it was an Amazon package of grandmas on this Delta flight.
Like, and they were old.
They were old. Like, Emma and I weren't sitting next to each other.
They were wearing suits and ties that old?
Yes.
You had to dress up to get on an airplane.
None of them walked onto the plane under their own power old.
Wow.
There was a traffic jam of the half of wheelchairs with the immigrants pushing. It was a traffic jam on the jet bridge getting them on the flight. But Emma and I weren't sitting next to each other, and we both asked our seatmates to switch, and they both said no, which we've never had happen.
Mm-hmm.
Usually people are cool, especially if you're not downgrading to a middle seat,
yeah,
and it's a window or aisle or whatever, and we both, it would have worked out. both said no, and they were both ancient. And then Emma's seatmate was older than mine. And she's like, I feel bad. I asked this old man to switch. And he's like, I really can't. And then you texted me. It took two flight attendants and his wife to get his jacket off of him. Yeah. That's how elderly this man was.
Yeah, yeah.
And then this elderly man had to use the bathroom like 20 times during the flight. And while he was walking in, it looked like half of his body was paralyzed. He had a cane with one arm, and the other arm was kind of locked behind him, and he was dragging a foot to the point where once he got in the bathroom, I was like, and then what?
Now what's going
on? Now what's
going
to happen? What do you mean? Like, that's not going to be a good situation in there.
You're like, I'm a full-bodied individual. Yeah, I can't use those bathrooms.
I struggle in there. I'm bumping into stuff. I'm like, where is this? Where's that? And that guy's going in with half limbs, half use of his body. And I'm like, and then what?
He's going to roll his wiener off the floor. You know he's got a huge bag. He's got his stuff into those underwear. There's no way he's surviving that without dragging that thing across the floor. Old people balls are so big.
Yeah, listen.
Just took down the class of the show.
We just lost our senior demographic.
I think we did that with the farts.
That's I don't know. That was my favorite one I've ever done.
That was my favorite episode ever. One of the lowest viewed.
Sure.
I think the algorithm, as soon as they see farts in the title, they're listen, we'll push anti-Semitism, we'll push hatred, but we're not going to push flatulence.
You spell it like F at symbol RT. Yeah. You know, you got to trick the algorithm into knowing.
Just F-A and then a skull with the poof sign, and then they're like, yeah, that's all right.
What's peach smoke mean? I think we all know what it means.
But yeah, we took that elderly-ass flight out there, and you know who's in... If your parents are that elderly, you visit them. You don't ship them out.
That's tough.
That's ridiculous. I don't. They're like, and they try to we'll put them in first class. No, that's still horrible. It sucks to fly when you're young, and then you're gonna send your elderly parent out there like a fruitcake you're sending to your aunt. Like, go live where they go. Have Thanksgiving where they are.
Go fly home, pick them up, then fly them back with them. You know, like how hard, how much do you want them out there?
Dude.
How often, how infrequently do you visit these people?
That you got to ship them to you.
It's crazy.
Because I get it. It sucks both ways. Because on the flight back, there was, remember the guy, the couple with how many kids do they have? They have they had two kids or three kids.
Yeah.
But the mom, there's two young kids. The mom had another one strapped to her that was like too young to walk, brand new. And then the dad, we're boarding the plane and the mom left and left all the bags with him. So he has two car seats to bring in and two rolly bags and his backpack. And he's struggling with all this. And every time he bends down, another water bottle falls out of him from somewhere.
It's actually really funny.
Hilarious, dude. This guy was huge. He's sweating buckets. And then I make eye contact with him because he's picking up yet another water bottle that he dropped. And I'm like, you want me to just grab these bags? He goes, dude, thank you. So I took his two.
You go, hold on. Let me put my camera down.
Let me quit bashing you to my wife.
So I'm going
to
turn my live off.
So I ended up taking his two rolly bags and his giant bottle of smart water or whatever, and I wheeled it over there to him, and it took him forever to get set up. And the entire time he's like situating it, and both of his little kids are like, Daddy, I want my iPad. Daddy, I'm ready for my juice. And he was so kind
so
to all.
Patient.
He's like, oh, buddy, one second, buddy. It's going to be coming soon, buddy. And then his wife, and then remember he talked to his wife. I don't know if you heard this part of the conversation. He's like, hey, listen, no big deal, but were you, looking back on it, would you have been able to take one of the bags? And she goes, yes, actually, I had both my hands free. And he was like, all right, I'm not upset, but maybe next time, maybe when we deboard, you can help me with one of the bags. And we're just both listening to this healthy relationship conversation back there.
So much patience.
And like, Emma's like, that's the kind of guy you should be like. And I'm like, I don't have.
I'm like, if that was you, you would have been so mad.
Is that who you want as a castrated?
Dude, I would have been chucking.
Jester.
You want an iPad? I need to quit sweating is what Daddy needs. Daddy needs a stiff drink and for you to be asleep for the next 5 hours.
It reminds me of my first day ever playing football in high school. There's this old man coach and I did a hit. I had no idea what I was doing. I just like hit a guy and he goes, all right, son, is that the hardest you can hit? And I go, no, I think I can go harder. And he just goes, why did you do it the first time? Like, he just lost his shit. And I was like, oh, God. Like, this is not for me. That's why I was hoping the story was going to go. I was like, you could have felt it. Cool. Well, maybe if you weren't such a selfish, condescending, you know what.
No, he never exploded.
Therapy.
He
was just therapy. There's no way those two aren't in therapy. Or they're in therapy a lot.
He's in therapy a lot. They were using all that. He said buddy so much, I had to turn around twice to make sure he wasn't Armenian. I was like, are you sure you're not Armenian? Because it was just buddy, but it wasn't buddy, buddy. It was buddy. You know, it was like, everything's going to be fine.
Are you from Toronto, by chance? Hey, buddy.
where's the boomer? I know there's a boomer involved. Yeah, just super patient. And it's like every time, we've had a couple instances in the last week where we're around a lot of kids. Mm-hmm. And each time, it's just such a reminder that we're not supposed to have kids.
I have no patience for kids.
Yeah, none. What were we it's at? Was it the circus they got you? We went to the circus on Saturday.
Ooh, here in town?
The here in town, the Big Apple.
Kind of near the Bronx, maybe? Or like as you go north of Manhattan? Yeah. I saw that on the way in.
Yeah.
Big blue and yellow tent or something like that?
It's the southwest corner of Central Park area.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's called the Big Apple Circus. We went to that on Saturday. It's super fun.
Yeah.
But I don't know why we didn't assume it was mostly children. I think we were expecting Cirque du Soleil, and then we got Cirque du Soleil.
Sure.
Except we also got a ton of kids. Mm. And to tell you what, kids, horrible theater audience. Like they lost. This guy's juggling in the opening act. He's the best juggler.
The best juggler I've
we've ever seen.
I love juggling.
The kids can barely pay attention.
Of course.
This guy juggled 5 ping pong balls out of his mouth. That's the reenactment.
What was it? Like, I missed it.
One more time. Well,
for the balcony? Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. I need my binky.
Like, Emma and I are blown away. Emma started crying at how good he was at juggling.
Sure. I got so teary-eyed.
Isn't it crazy that like a skill, like someone's raw talent, you're just like, I can't handle this.
He worked so hard for that skill.
Yeah, I know.
This guy's got
no friends, never been laid.
No. That's a latchkey kid, by the way.
He was
left home with 5 similar-sized balls, and then he was just like, oh, well, I guess
that's why I'm good at card tricks and magic. Because I used to just sit around teach myself magic as a kid.
I had a boss once that he was great at guitar, but he had a lot of acne scars on his face. And he said, I was like, yeah, I got good at guitar because I was too ashamed to go outside because I had such bad acne as a kid that I just stayed inside and played love songs on my guitar. And I'm really good. And I was like, that is the most tragic story.
That's the saddest thing
I've ever heard, but he's really good at guitar. But yeah, so you're crying at the juggler. I'm annoyed that the kids aren't respecting the art, you know. And that juggler was so good. One of the last tricks, he had all these hats, and he's like flipping all these hats and put them on his head. And then he would give hats to the audience members, and the audience would throw them. And he would get under them. And like kids with their horrible throws,
still
like 2 inches of air, and he'd get under there and get his head under there. And it was amazing.
Pure talent.
I'm going to try to look up this guy's name, see if we can find him. Give him a plug.
Yeah. He was the Big Apple Circus. Well worth your money. I don't think tickets were crazy. It was like $50 or something. Mm-hmm. We weren't in the front, but the tent is small. So even the back row, you're right there. But yeah, both times, the patient guy on the plane that just kept going, buddy, buddy, that I'm like, I have no part of what that man has. Mm-hmm. And then the kids we were surrounded by at the circus where you're like, I hate every bunch of these kids. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just the constant
reminder.
I like
some kids, though. I like the ones that have an old soul.
Yeah, you like... You like a good clinically depressed child. Yeah. Like that's like, I just want to stay in and write in my safe journal.
I like kids that smoke non-filtered cigarettes.
Or quiet, yeah. You know.
The next John Lennon of kids. That's what we're looking
for. I want a kid that pops his binky out and goes, do you got any black coffee?
I mean, you just got engaged. You and your significant other talked about the yes, no's, maybes of children?
We've talked about it for a long time. It's pretty up in the air.
Yeah.
It's who knows? I'm down either way.
There you go.
I'm into it or I'm not. I think it'd be cool to have a kid when I'm older.
Yeah.
To have like a, you know, kid coming around and I'm like old and shit. But I don't know. I don't care. Mm-hmm.
I think I'd like to have a kid just to take him on the road with me.
Right.
And show him my grift. Like, show him my racket. Like, this is what I do, kid. I'll show you these card tricks. And then, if it ever, you know, because I remember Daryl, the mechanic that I used to work for, he's like, oh yeah, he said I couldn't afford a babysitter, so I had my, I'd have my kid on top of my toolbox and just handing me tools while I was like wrenching. And I'm like, yeah, I want to do that with comedy, you know. Yeah. Just like a kid in the green room playing Xbox.
That's while I'm... called a callback.
We pulled off the magic trick.
I've always had the joke that I said my ideal situation is I get married, we have a baby, she dies during childbirth, and then it's a it's a daughter, and then it's just me and my baby girl against the world, you know. And then I'm just, you know, chick magnet.
So this birth, this childbirth has to happen in Mississippi.
Yeah.
It has to happen where there's no abortion whatsoever.
No, no,
like, no, you will die in this. Yeah.
And then it's just me and my baby girl. No, my wife dies in childbirth.
Yes, yeah, that's what I mean.
And then the daughter becomes my wingman.
Yeah, yeah. Then like, who doesn't want to hang out with that guy? Everyone's going to help babysit, you know, and, but they're not going to give me shit about wanting to go live my life. You know, I'm just trying to get out there, you know, I don't have to do all the...
You just pretty much want the human version of the single guy with the puppy at the park.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just now, I'm not saying I want that to happen.
But it'd be cool.
But if it's going to happen, that'd be the situation I would ask for.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm kidding. just in case anyone...
David, is it David Drake, the comedian?
Yeah.
The local comedian?
Yeah, Drake, yeah.
Yeah.
CUSK, right? Chicago guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
He just put a special out on YouTube. Highly recommended, by the way. Very funny. But he had a great joke in there where I think he has two kids, but when his daughter was born, or when his wife was pregnant, they asked her the question. The doctor is like, hey, if it gets to a point where the labor gets so complicated that either you die or the child dies, who do you want us to save? This is a real question, apparently, they ask you. And she goes, oh, I want you to save the child. And then David was like, I don't think you should be allowed to answer that question. I should, because I would pick the person I chose to love for the rest of my life. Not this random baby,
this
I don't
stranger.
Know. Not yet.
Yeah.
Not this stranger. It was such a good joke. Where he's like, yeah, if you die, now I'm just left with this strange baby I got to get to know instead of the love of my life that I chose to live with. And it was it's a great joke. Great special, by the way. Go check that out and write your feelings into a safe journal. Do you like that? You like how I keep tying it
so
back?
So smooth.
So it's seamless. I can't wait till we have another sponsor. I hope the next sponsor is Blue Chew, which is, do you know what Blue Chew is? It's a gum you take and it gives you erection. It's like chewable Viagra.
Oh.
It would be so funny to have safe journal and then like, why don't you get a hard on and write in your journal?
the two best sponsors would be back to back is Blue Chew and then Stretchy Denim. Levi's stretch pants for whatever stretch needs you may have.
You know what I like to keep me cool while I'm walking around the city hard as a rock? Topo Chico. I also like the reveal of that as I pull this up in the book.
The bubbles make me feel something.
That's really fun. I think we're almost at an hour. Let me see if there was anything else in my notes. We talked about the chicken. We talked about the flashlights. Mom holding court. Oh, yeah, the Twin Flame documentary. Yeah, I definitely go watch the Twin Flame documentary. It just shows, because this guy, the cult leader, he's not even a good cult leader. He's
just
like
charisma. That's all you need.
He doesn't
have it.
He's not
even charismatic, no.
He's not charismatic, and he's rude, and he doesn't hide the fact that he's exploiting the people for money. He's just constantly flaunting the money with the idea, because it's multi-level marketing kind of thing, to the like, oh, maybe you can have this. But he's also like not even, he didn't even, it just really showed how lonely people are. That they're constantly looking. That's why there's so many cults and groups.
Yeah.
I think because we've never been lonelier as a society. So everyone just keeps grabbing onto these things. And because it's dumb. Like
it really
the concept is dumb.
Like they should have called the documentary A Bunch of Dummies.
A Bunch of Dummies. It's a bunch. Like I'm really proud of the people that agreed to tell their story on camera. Because you come off gullible and dumb.
Yeah.
But they're lonely. And they're like, listen, I was really single forever, and I'm trying to find this person. And then I found this twin flame group online. I started to join it. Slowly, I'm taking classes. Then I become a teacher. Next thing you know, the leader's asking me to change my gender and my name. And I'm shaving my head. And he's arranging marriages and telling us to procreate.
At a certain point, how do you lose yourself, though?
Yeah.
How do you lose yourself in the cult?
It happens slow. That's why I'm weary of every group.
You have to be.
I'm in a group text. I'm thinking of leaving. Just because I'm like, what if this ends up leaving? And next thing you know, I'm living in a cabin off the grid.
Going on a bowling team. It's like, well, you got to wear the same shirt, and that's where it starts. Yeah. I have no one. No, I don't want to go get beers with these people. I'm done. I'm already out.
Dude, I get uncomfortable in groups of like four or more. Because I'm like, slowly you start, the conversations start melding together. And once, like, there's one person with a strong opinion, everyone else's opinions kind of die down because that one strong personality took over. Yeah. I'm like, this is how cults start. This is how cults start. Like, a bunch of, three people get quiet, and one guy's like, yeah, let me tell you about this. And then you're like, oh my God, I'm going to have to give my wife to this guy.
You forget how many gullible people are there.
So many.
There's
just
so
people
many.
Are just like, I guess I'll, whatever you say.
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Yeah.
So many.
Write me a check.
Like, if you think, yeah, write me a check.
That's what they do.
Look, should we start a cult? No. Would it be fun and easy? Probably.
Probably.
I think it would be easy. A comedian starting a cult like with regular people, I think everyone would
Isn't that Patreon?
It might be.
Sign up for my Patreon. You get $5 a month. I'll send you a video that says I love you or something. Or like
personalized
whatever.
Personalized video.
Yeah, personalized.
And if you want my feed, I'll send those too. I just turned into a weird Patreon.
It is funny that all cults slowly turn sexual.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, because they're always like, I think you brought this up while we were watching it. The guy in this cult just kept going, oh, I just got away with that. What else could I get away with?
He just kept trying to push the boundary.
And he just kept slowly pushing the boundary. And then eventually he's like, call me God. I am the divine light. And then they're like, yeah, that sounds about right. And they just slowly keep coming in. Yeah.
It's brutal. It's like watching someone that's super political. Either direction.
Yes.
Like, would you really just buy everything they say?
Yeah.
You're just in hardcore on the left or the right. Like, you don't care. There's no other opinion.
Mm-hmm. I think it all comes from loneliness.
Maybe.
Because there's so many articles out saying that today's generation, even with all the social media, people have never felt more alone.
Yeah.
And you see people grasping to groups, whether the group is far right, far left, anti-Semitic or racist or whatever, or you join a cult and you're like, I thought I really liked yoga. Next thing you know, I'm over here, my head's shaved and I can't talk to my mom.
Yeah.
And you just like slowly drift into these groups and it's all from loneliness.
Yeah.
Which is why I think I'm immune to it because I was a latchkey kid and I enjoyed my alone time.
Yeah.
So I never dug for the groups, you know.
I'm a huge fan of loneliness.
Oh, man.
Being alone, not having to talk to anybody.
Are we three introverts?
We might be.
I think we are. Emma and I love a good empty hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is empty individually or to two
both.
Of you alone?
Both.
Both, because we can both lay in a hotel room and it can be quiet.
Yeah, that's a good
time. And we don't have to like talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we also enjoy like our time apart too.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Takes a special person to be with a comedian. He's on the road a lot.
Yeah.
And it's a certain type of person.
Like, yeah.
Like Becca's, she don't care. Like, oh, I'm gone for a week. She's like, all right. Day after we got engaged, I was like, I have to leave for a week. She's like, you're not going to war, dude.
Yeah.
You're going to Raleigh and Nashville. Calm down.
You're staying at a Doubletree. Why don't you?
Sometimes he tells me he's leaving. I'm like, thank God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going crab fishing, dickhead.
You get to have the house all zen, and then I come back, it's cleaner than it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can, there's times where I leave for a week, like I'm about to leave for 3 days coming up, and I already, when I come back, there's a sense of happiness, but also a real sense of disappointment that I'm back.
For me?
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, I love you, I'm so glad you're back, but also, oh, you're going to be like around now, right?
You're going to be touching
stuff. Yeah, I always tell you, when you come back, you got to ease into it.
Yeah.
Because you just come back full force. And I'm like,
you live here.
You can't do that.
And by the way, what you mean by come back full force, I come in and I put my bag down.
Well, you should have known better.
Yeah. She's like, oh, this is where we put bags now? And I'm like, I just got home. Like, let me put my bag down. And then I kick my feet up. Oh,
the TVs are on.
Yeah, yeah, I put the TV on. Oh, just ease back into it. I'm like, do you want me to stand outside for a while?
I'm sorry, we don't have any early check-in available. You're going to have to come back after 3.
It's like you want me to introduce myself back into the house the way you introduce two new cats to each other.
That's exactly what I want.
Yeah, where you put them in two separate rooms and let them smell each other under the door and then like get assimilated. And then I slip back in and I'm like, this is my turn to use the litter box.
Oh, so we're wearing shoes now. Okay. Okay.
That is a reaction that you noticed my mom also had, which was every time Carlos would do something or anytime I do something, you both go, oh, you're having another glass of wine. Oh. Like one of those, what my mom did to Carlos. Oh, we're getting drunk today, are we? Oh. You know? But yeah, I'll do my best to not come in hot.
Thanks. You know,
when I come back from St. Louis or wherever. Yeah. I think we hit an hour. I think that's it, right?
Yeah, we're right there.
All right, perfect.
Right on the edge.
I think that's the episode for this week. Thank you to our sponsor, Safe Journal, safejournal.co. You know, Zoltan for the promo code, 25% off.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. Go to ZoltanComedy.com if you want to see me live. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, do all that good stuff. And go follow Mike Albanese as well. What's your Twitter or Instagram handle?
Big Man Mike.
Big Man Mike. Go follow him. And cheers, love, and happy holidays. Trekking heavier, traveling light.